Yeah, they may have lawsuits on their hands.
Terry, you gotta use the restroom? Okay, we're getting ready to start up.
So here's what.
Roger.
Oh, now it's on.
Who's that?
Now she's kicking on the time. I'm all cool with it. No worries.
Okay, we'll call to order our portion of the joint session of the commissioners.
Sorry, Terry, you should have taken over.
Chapter 7 is called to order the county council portion of the joint session.
Callers are ready. We're in session.
We're in session? Okay.
What do we got, gentlemen and ladies?
I think the main thing on the agenda is the discussion of the matrix that Alex is not here, but Alex and Doug and Nina and the sheriffs are possibly put together for their department, and then Alex and Nina and Doug modified for public building of the county.
I need to put microphones over there because I can't hear.
Time out. We're going to do a little technical rearranging.
Maybe a couple of them at least. Keep one here and then...
session before we decide to make the salary ordinance and modify the wages. And we definitely want to get the auditor involved to see how we were as far as the finances are concerned and where we can keep this.
I think one of the things you were looking at is Sheila was the, what's it, the Lowett B?
Lowett B.
Which is for public safety, where monies can be pulled out of what would have been under county general.
EMS.
Would now come out of...
If we got enough finances to do that, I believe we should, according to what I've been told so far.
Correct. Did you come up with any...
No, because we just got the reports today. And I haven't even had a chance to look at them. I have to call the state and find out how to receive them in.
Okay.
Has everybody had a chance to look over some of the information that was included in the matrix?
I did. There was one department there. I think we briefly talked about Linda at our meeting with Tom Roth, yourself, and myself. I think it was briefly brought up in our last joint session in regards to a position in the court recorder court
circuit
court, who's been here for 29 years, 30 years, and the person been here for 15. There wasn't much separation, and I think a discussion at that time was, instead of carrying it up to the 20 years and then dropping off.
I think it's, yeah, just adding another tier, basically. Just to have one more level of separation.
Correct.
There's not that many people, but you're right. There was quite a bit difference between the years and then having the same pay of those two people. And that can be easily revamped. It doesn't even really...
Correct.
...cause any changes.
I like the structure of it. I like the accessibility of looking at it and knowing, for instance, if the sheriff apparently has a couple new hires coming on board, or a department head has a couple new hires or a new hire coming on board, they're able to look and put two and two together. The question I had to myself after the fact, and we had the scenario, is if we had a prior employee that worked, let's say, eight years with the county, separated from the county, went to work at another job or something like that, and then was rehired. What goes on with that employee? Is that employee back to 0 years? Or is that employee...
That discussion was had with Kevin when I met with Kevin Tankersley. And I'm sorry he's not here tonight because he would be able to talk about this too. But when we kind of talked about this at the beginning, if that were to happen, if he was not let go from the county, he or she was not let go from the county, county service is still county service. And you would probably have a probationary period, like a 90-day probationary period, to obviously make sure they're going to stay with the county or whatever it might be. But their county time still would serve as county time.
So if they left on their own accord, that would still be credited good time. But if they were let go for other than...
First of all, if they were let go for other reasons, I would hope they wouldn't be rehired, unless there was some wonderful reason why.
Trust me, it's happened before.
I'm sure it has. It happens everywhere.
And it did happen.
Okay.
I think you ought to go back to the Big Zero.
I would take good time.
Because you know what? You left. What if you trained a guy and he left for 10 years and all of a sudden he gets to be whatever and he comes back and says, oh, I'm going to go work at the recycling center now. So you guys hire him. He's a good guy. But, you know, he left you hanging already once. So then you hire him back. He's like, well, you've got 10 years in. We're going to give you this tier of pay now. Because you've already worked at the highway department for 10 years.
I agree with Mike. I don't think that happens out in the public. I know if I quit my job, I would be done. If I come back and they did happen to hire me back, I wouldn't be.
They give you a hitch pin, so here you go.
I don't think we should reward somebody that leaves our services.
And you're going to hire animal patrol officer back, give her 3 years or whatever she worked. You know, you trained her and then she left you. It's like she comes back in 20 years.
I think that's what we're asking for.
Yeah, sounds like
that's the reason for this discussion. That's good. If that's what the council votes on.
Well, I'm only one.
That would be, you could be worded to just continuous employment. Years of service, really continuous service to the county.
Trust me, we've had it happen at the hospital too, and I'm always amazed at people who get to come back after reasons that they shouldn't be.
Was there any other fine tuning done to the matrix since the last meeting?
I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't touched it because I figure I'm going to wait until everything is said and done. And then Sheila and I talked about getting together and putting it into a form where you could see it in a salary ordinance format. But I, final figures I have as far as, you know, I gave those to you last time.
You got it.
I didn't get those. I didn't make me any money, so I'm talking to 58,000 something. 283.
Oh, unless you call the overall.
Yeah. I'll speak in every morning.
Email me more.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
Okay.
Did you say that's everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone.
That's not the sheriff's, because he already had his taken care of. 56,000 to bring every, 56,203. And I do believe, Larry, that that includes making that next layer, or that next level.
That next level is a 19-year cutoff, is that correct? 15 and 19.
15 and 19 and then 20 plus.
Oh, yeah, two more layers there. Okay.
What? How did you come up with the base? I guess what I'm thinking, Linda, is in years past, since I've been on the council, any raises we gave was just a flat amount. And I agree with this matrix. It's the right thing to do. But that raise that we've given in the past has always been, I don't know, anywhere from $300 to $700. And some of these are quite a bit more than that.
Well, what we did was we went with pretty much 86%, to 88 and 86% are the two figures that we used. And we had to do the 88% on the few departments, I think there were only two, the highway and possibly circuit court, in order to get that separation of what people make currently, because I figured I wouldn't be very popular if we went with people getting their money cut. Does that make sense, what they're currently making?
Well, yes, I understand not cutting.
So we went 86 and 88% off of the supervisor, whatever you want to call that, top person, the man. Go ahead.
My question is, the supervisor, how'd you come up with that number?
Trying to come up with what they currently, I mean, a figure that would give that separation. I don't know how better to put it. Separation. The 37.5, and I even asked Kevin, do we need to make non-elected officials at a different rate than elected officials? And we just came up with a straight base, but you're talking about raises. These raises, based on this new matrix, if you were to incorporate it, actually does, like if you say you give $1,000, that $1,000 is then the percentage of, like they would get 88% of $1,000 or 86% on down. So you're actually saving money in the long run. You're not giving everybody $300 or $700 or $1,000. I think you're going to see, go ahead though, it's fine.
I understand the I'm going to say employee versus the supervisor. The supervisors, the question, I guess.
How did we come up with it?
Just basically,
to try to get separation. If you can come up with a better figure, by all means, I have no problems with it. I guess you're going to find there are some people that are making that would not have any increase. It would actually be on a freeze for that level. So we tried to make it a figure that's across the board, 37.5 across the board.
And it rewards longevity.
That way you're not freezing anybody. Everybody's going to get a little bit of a raise.
No, we still have quite a few people in some of these departments that are at freeze for a couple of years.
Okay.
Yes.
I got a question. I don't know if it's happened in my time here in the last 3 years, but has there been a point where we did not give a raise to the department head, but yet to the full-time employee, or was it always both in mind? And would there ever be a time where we didn't do anything to the supervisor, but we did?
I don't know. There was an instance where that has happened, and that was, when we advertise for the budget, when we go through the budgets, we can't give any employee more than what they ask for in their budget.
Correct. In instances where supervisors did not ask for a raise and we gave everybody else a raise, so they did not get a raise. And yes, that has happened. It wasn't intentional on our part, just that we had to do it that way, because that's what it was.
So
we tried to make amends for that. I know County Home was another that happened too. I'm sure there were others that did that same thing. But we tried to accommodate that to deny that. And the next year, they were coming out and get a little bit more involved because they didn't get there.
So, Jay, with that in mind, and we never know what's going to go on from year to year, but is that, how would that, if you chose not to do anything for the elected official, but we did do something for the other employees below, how would you incorporate that? Or would
you bump the percentage up?
You bump the percentage up?
You can't give any of the elected officials.
Maybe add a percent to each level of the matrix. You'd gain a greater share of the department heads.
Okay.
Then I think what will happen if you do that is then you're going to be right where you're sitting now. You'll eventually get where employees could be making more than an office holder or somebody else. And I think if I understood your question right, Tom, what you were saying was, where did Linda and everybody come up with the figure for the elected department head?
Yes.
It was just a figure you had to pull out of the air, I guess, so to speak. But you have to get some separation from the supervisors to the employees down below them, or there's no room there for this matrix to work. You know, if you got, you know, I don't know if Sheila is the good example, but there's some office holders where they just make maybe, what, Sheila, what's the closest one? Maybe 1,000 more than an employee in their office?
I make a little more than that.
I mean, there's some.
I think I make about
close,
3 or 4.
Just a little more.
Between my first deputy.
There would be room for employees under Sheila to have room to move up in the matrix if they stay around long enough. Then, you know, she has to be a little higher, so there's room for them to move up. Otherwise, you'll have, you know, somebody, then I think we'd be in the pickle of who's going to run for an office that you can work at and make more money.
And then I think you also, the reason we ran into that problem is you've got, and I'm not picking on any departments, so I'm not even going to say names, but you've got some departments whose employees, like TV, sorry, was saying down here, that make a pretty astronomical amount of money anyway, and they're not that far off from their supervisor. So this idea of the matrix stops that type of hiring at whatever wage that department. And I know you know that, but that's how we had to get separation, so that unless I dropped wages.
Well, I agree with this matrix thing 100%. I was wondering, you know, by, well, $56,000. That's a pretty good chunk of change. And
it is initially. Now, we could come down. I mean, I suppose we could look at it all over again and come down on the supervisors. But again, you've got a couple departments where that's not going to work real well because they already make almost as much as the director or supervisor. And that was because they got pulled in by whoever hired them and said, I want to start them up here.
It doesn't have to be the same. Look, some offices do a lot more than other offices. Some of them are more important.
Right. Now, unfortunately, when we came up with this,
as much as that question,
I'll tell them who's important.
As much
they're working on Sunday.
As much as you would like to sit here and say, well, I know these guys work harder than this group, you can't do that. No. I mean, you just can't.
I thought part of the problem is wages were getting too high already. And I was never for cutting any wages, but I was for a drastic cut to what we were starting people out at. We just replaced a 10-year employee with a brand new person for 50 cents less an hour.
Right?
$16.50 for an entry-level position that requires a high school diploma is way too much money.
But when you worked on this the first time around, you couldn't get, what could you start people at where you had that separation and still didn't, I mean, you're one that you gave me, you cut wages.
I was busy for 3 months.
I know, and there were wages cut on it.
I did not cut any wages. new employees would start out at those lower wages. I wasn't cutting anybody's wages. People were freezing. They might be freeze for a while.
We've had people that are freezing for over 3 years on this one.
The last proposal I put forth was going to cost $30,000 for everybody, sheriff's department included.
Well, I'll say again that in the sheriff's department side, it's neutral. I have found that money, and we've moved it into other budgets. Now, you know, I'm willing to have that discussion as far as, you know, and I want Sheila to be in on that, that, you know, we have found that money, and we can do what we're saying we can do. But, you know, that's where I stand.
This is, came from you guys? Mm-hmm. I actually, looking at my numbers and your numbers, they're not that far off. 20 cents, I think, on a lot of them. I have one more tier than you have on here. I had a couple of issues with your proposal months ago, and I think I wrote you an email about that. We never got a chance to discuss it, but...
Well, I think, I don't know if everybody's talking about the chief deputy's position, but I think we should understand what that position is if I'm gone, that's the guy that's supervising the whole place, and I think you have to reward that. And you have to understand, I know that he's a first-year guy, but he's a 30-year troop. And, you know, you want to track those people and have good people in these spots. You know, I don't think it's out of the question. I don't know if everybody on the council knows, but in this week, I've lost three people. Bill Cherry's left, a jailer's left, and another deputy has left. So, you know, this isn't a little spurt of blood. I'm hemorrhaging.
If, Sheriff, can I ask you this question? If these three that left were getting the incomes that you're proposing for 16 today, would they have left?
I think Phil would stay. I really do. He's going to make, he's jumping up to like 40,000 up there, I think, and they're giving him a car. He had a commissioner and a councilman show up at his house Saturday morning and, you know, said, we'll do this. The next day he went up and talked to Bill Doolin. Bill said, no. He said, you know, and Phil said, hey, they give me a car down there. And Bill said, we can get you a car. And, you know, I know you've heard it said, and I hate coming up here saying this, but I think it's the truth. Is, you know, in some of these positions that we have, and I'm speaking of the sheriff's department, and there's people, a lot of people in the courthouse that are the same way, that if they don't make the right decisions for us, we're in trouble. And, you know, and it's every day over here. And so, you know, I don't know how to make it any plainer that, you know, we've got to do something or we're going to be hurt. And, you know, like I said, I think we're neutral on ours as far as the money for the sheriff's department. Now, with everybody else, you know, we did the best we could do. You know, Fred did a lot of that work. He's in the hospital now, so he couldn't look at other people. I've got the figures for 17, where we would jump up, because I thought that's, Jay, what you was kind of interested in.
Yeah.
And
we've got to make it sustainable. That's my concern. I mean, I remember how it was. We gave everybody a big raise, and 3 years later, the economy started going to bonkers, and we had to lay 10 people off.
I understand that, and I think...
We don't want to do that again.
What were your numbers for additional expense on the salaries for 17, Sheriff?
We're looking at, and the thing you have to remember was with my dispatchers, they're only getting half of their jump to get up to the top of the matrix. So what we decide to do is half this year, half next year. And if you want to do that with some of those other positions, we can do that. But... anyways, next year, Roger, I've got it figured as 27,137. And most of that is dispatchers. And then after that, our jumps would go down quite a bit, I think. Now, we can go out another year, but I just went to 17. Because you won't have those big hits with getting the people up to the top of the matrix that have been here so long.
Okay. But these jumps are based on the assumption that your salary is going up?
No, no, it's based, these jumps are based on my salary being what it is. And then if you were to give me a raise, and I think that's what Linda was alluding to, is that it makes it easier, I think, for you guys, and you know, you can argue with me and think I'm wrong, but what it does then, let's say you give me a $1,000 raise, then if the next drop down is at 80%, they get 80% of that, so you don't ever lose where we're at now, where you've got employees almost ready to make more than their supervisors, and the ink ain't real to do. So that's what Linda's talking about. You know, instead of, okay, let's give everybody a $1,000 raise, you say, we're going to give the department head $1,000, then it trickles down to everybody else, to where it's not $10,000, it's $8,000, whatever the percentage is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
But
all right.
My additional question is, your salary is based on the prosecutor's income. Is that correct? So you're always going to be pulled up.
Not necessarily.
It's mandated by the prosecutor's
If salary. We make the... I'm well over that percentage now. Of what that should be. I think if I look at the formula, all right.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. If you're looking at the prosecutor's salary and it jumps up and you have no control over that, then mine has to go. I don't know where he would have to go to, but.
Well, that's my ultimate question is, where do we reach a point where you're now annually going up in income and you're bringing along everyone else in the department because they're tied to you and your salary as a percent, okay? And even looking at next year, 27,000, this year we got it from two cars.
No, they didn't. No, I'll argue with you on that. That's actually
you're the one who said, we're going to do two less cards. I found the money. Two less cards.
He threw that in after
what I already said. Found the money, Roger. I moved the stuff to the Cadget, moving it out of the general fund into the Cadget, salaries that can be paid out of that Cadget fund. And then you guys were talking about, well, you know, it's hard to give people a raise when you're asking for two new cars. So I said, if it's going to come down to arguing about two cars, I'll forget about the car. I'm telling you, we have found the money, and I could buy the two new cars next year and still give the raises. I could do that.
All right. That satisfies me.
Okay.
Thank you.
And, you know, that's what I did with the cars. And, you know, I get it from both sides, and not for feel sorry for me, but, you know, they're over there saying, hey, I said, no, I've already said we'll do without cars for a year, and we'll do that. I'm not going to come over here in July and say, hey, I need two cars. I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm still a little confused. This $27,137, you said that's 2017?
That's what I think the matrix will cost us in 17 for the people that would actually move up in it. And to get the dispatchers to, you know, and that is a little better than it was because we've had, well, you know, Sherry was at the top of the matrix and she's moved over to the emergency management and then we let a long-time dispatcher go. And so, you know, we'll have two positions there that aren't moving up because it'll be two new people.
And that's based on today's wages.
That's based on, yes.
Today's wages. So, basically, we gave him a little bit of a raise anyway, that would come on. It's not like, so that's 2 years worth of it. The only concern I have with everything based off your salary is I think we're going to get more discrepancy between what you're making.
Well, I think that's a valid point. I'm just saying about then change the percentage. You know, if something happens with my salary, I'm telling you, I don't care if you ever give me another raise for this my first term. I'm telling you, I don't. There's people over here, though, that need it desperately. And I understand that if state law tells you you have to do something, then that. Well, then I say, when we have these discussions, we'll say, hey, look, Sheriff, you know, you jumped up and wasn't counting on that. We changed the percentages where they don't follow me that close then. I don't know.
Yeah, that's how it works every year with the adjustment. Yes, this
is 86 is 85.
Yeah, there you go. I understand, and I'm not interested. I live here, too. I don't want to break the county. I'm not doing that.
Well, that was the basis for my original questions, because I don't want us to get to the point where every year the council says, by golly, you know, we did this back in 16 and we're still doing it in 28, or whatever the number, because of a bad decision that we made, and we're tied into it, we can't do anything about it. But I like your idea, I think it's legitimate, I think it's workable, and I really think we need to give it serious consideration.
The only thing is that we will have to visit it after, say, 5 years of changing the period, because you're going to get a bigger discrepancy between
I think every year you're going to revisit it.
Yeah, you need to revisit it.
Yeah, we revisit it every year. But I'm saying that the percentages we have now would be good for this year. But
and I think that's kind of what Kevin was saying, too, when I met with him. He said, you know, this is something that every year, and even in the beginning should be, if we see problems that arise, it can always be readdressed and amended.
We can do it every year. This is just a go by to get longevity, I think, rewarded, and to help out the department's situation, like EMS was over there just losing everybody.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. See, that's the
part of that problem. I haven't had any.
No, we've got three ambulances running.
Right. He's losing his men all the time. He's found his $28,000. And we've done it for the ambulance service who was losing their paramedics every time. Like, why can't we do it for the sheriff's department and see how it works out? He found his $28,000. He found it. Obviously, I mean, you and Rogers sit there and
got it. Bill and Perry was a big part of that. I mean, it's a group effort over there. I'm not going to lie about that. And, you know, I think we got a good plan. I think it'll work. And I think it'll work for the rest of the county. We just didn't have the time to sit and figure. You know, we got it close, and I think Doug was close where he was at, and then didn't.
I guess my point is that
we found it in the budget. You know, I'm willing to talk to Sheila more about it if she doesn't think that it's there, but I think we did.
And this proposal here, to like your chief dispatch, your jail commander, I guess those really only two. They have tiered wages too, or am I missing something here?
It just says 56%, but do they have tiers as well?
They be exempt and stay there to keep the separation.
That's how it is done. There's no tiers for them.
Okay.
So
their wages is going to.
Well, and part of that was because, you know, like Tom was talking about, some of those people jump up pretty good.
So you're the service meaning nothing once you're the department head.
Because you're always going to be above that. You're always going to be above that 15-year guy or however you guys stop the matrix. You're always above that person by 3%. I think you have to reward somebody that wants to step up and be a supervisor. They're taking on an awful lot of responsibility. And, you know, to attract people that are good, I think we've got to, you know what I mean?
I think this is just a little bit different than what I think Greg did personally.
I think that's probably the exact same thing. We didn't change any of that. The work we did was for the rest of the county trying to get it for them. I think for Linda and you and Alex, we were all pretty happy with the sheriff.
Sergeants here. Years of service plus 3%. What is?
You get 3% for being a sergeant, which makes you supervisor. The you know, Fred's the sergeant of the road guys, and then the detectives are sergeants that what they do, that where they need to be able to hold road deputies, is every road, every report that a road deputy writes, William and Chris look at those, make sure they're written properly, everything's in there that the prosecutor needs. And so they need a little bit of clout when they call my road guy then to say, hey, this has got to be changed.
I got it. You're in the service of the deputy, you're doing 3%.
Gotcha. That way you never have a deputy get higher than a guy that he is supervisor.
And we did the same thing with the first deputies. We did an additional percentage if they were first deputy versus the two or three or four that are under them.
Should you know, we got the LOIT B in place now and the money starts coming in. Do we have to have people assigned to that particular line item, income line item, in order for them to, in other words, like 911, we can move some of the sheriff's people into 911, but they have to move into that department paid out of that money. Is that what we're going to have to do for this?
I believe, well, I'm not Sheila, but I think that's how that would work.
If you increase the dispatcher, if you increase the dispatcher's hourly rate, he's got dispatchers that are being paid out of 911 too, so you'd have to do both funds.
Okay. Have to be moved into that fund in order to be paid out of that fund. We can't move money out of that fund into the Skagit or nothing like that.
No, you can't move money from one fund to another.
We'll have to put those people in that particular fund. Okay.
Which frees up money.
Well, and that's what I'm kind of general wise. We want to move some of those. Move some of the EMS people into that also to relieve county general some of that liability.
Let me get more details on that because I'm not real sure how that's supposed to be dispensed out.
Well, I know.
I know we're going to have to keep track of what we pay out of it,
right?
So that it goes for exactly what it's supposed to. Because if we don't. If they audit it, they'll come back and make us pay it back.
No,
that's already happened.
Right, exactly. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I'm certain that we can pay EMS and fire and sheriff out of it. I mean, they were saying, what you said for safety, that even, you know, lights for the next week, roadways and stuff can come out of it because of public safety, but I don't think we want to do that.
I'm planning on emailing them tomorrow because we got our distribution today. I haven't looked at it yet, but we did get some money today. On how to split it out.
Okay.
But what I need to know is how to dedicate it to where it's supposed to go. And I'm going to have to email the state on that. Once I found that out, I will email it to all of you, the paperwork and stuff that I get, so that you can see what they've said on that money.
Okay. And I think that you've got your first cut out of that, then I think that we're in pretty good shape if we wanted to give the employees somewhat of a raise here. I mean, we're talking 58,000 total, that's all employees, including the sheriff, my understanding, correct? You had 28 on yours, and talk a little bit about
that. I think mine's neutral, Jay. I really do. I don't know if Linda's saying the 58. I don't think that includes
that. That doesn't include you.
Because ours is neutral.
Yours is
20,000 like it is now.
2 years. Well, anyway, it's under 80 grand total for everything.
Next Monday night at council meeting,
right.
I've got reports that you'll be able to see some things that you've never seen before.
Okay.
In amounts and money. So
I guess what I would like to see is the commissioner's support for the council to do this. I mean, this is going to be a joint session here.
Yep.
You don't want to. It would be a change for the salary ordinance.
I'll make the motion to support the revised matrix. For lack of better words, this year's salary ordinance.
I'll second that to support the council.
We have a motion, or go ahead, Terry.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Yes, we support.
Did Bud make the motion?
Well, we'll need to.
Okay.
Bud seconded.
Once we get your information, then, I guess I would like to have all the exact amounts that the sheriff had and what everybody else would get. So that we can, you know, approve or whatever, at least vote on having that advertised after our meeting on next Monday.
Does everybody want a copy of these again? Remember what I went over with each of you, and I'll
the support invite.
Does that sound like a plan, Council? That's all the plan everybody's in favor of?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we will we'll have the information together to make a decision on the 11th, on our next meeting. Next week from today.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Before you adjourn, Sheila has some unfinished business.
Right. I see there's any other business we need to talk about tonight.
Do they not need to be involved with
it? Yeah.
Okay, listen up, everyone. This is...
We've got some issues that on the new time system. We need permission to set two departments as by exception, so it forces hours through to pay as a 7-hour day, with no notation of whether holiday, PTO, etc., so the department heads can prove for pay. What it is because everybody but we really have three, but everybody else is clocking in. These departments are not clocking in. So if we do it by exception, then we can put the hours in and it can come every 2 weeks as the 7 hours a day. And again, it's no exception to the holidays because they're not clocking in, so we don't have any information on them. So we need permission to be able to have these departments do this.
We have documentation of their hours, and it's signed by their supervisor?
Yes.
Okay.
But the supervisor can go in, but he can't approve that because nothing's there. That's what the problem is, because they're not clocking in.
He approved the timesheets, though, right? And what do? You enter the timesheets then into the...
Well, the timesheets are different. We're paperless now with payroll.
Okay.
They're clocking in or whatever, and then the supervisors go in and approve the payroll, and once they've approved it, then Michelle can pull it. And then that's what it's pulled off.
7-hour day, period.
This particular department works the two departments work 7-hour days.
So why don't they clock in?
Because they refuse to.
Who is it?
The prosecutor's office, Superior Court, and we're having some issues with circuit.
Okay. Well, I just wondered, because there's elections always coming up.
What did we just pass?
Has our attorney ruled on this, that this is acceptable?
Attorney has said that we are just to pay them the flat 7 hours. We won't know if they have overtime.
So we're doing this with his guidance.
Yes. And the exception, the right stuff can go in and make that exception by doing it that way.
Okay. And the reason being is because the judicial branch is stating that they have, there's different branches of the government. Separation of powers, and they don't have to comply with everything that we say they got.
We have two, the departments though refuse to do their fingerprint, and one is adamant. I mean, he is adamant that they don't do their fingerprints. This is the second one, and it's got to do with that one. Need permission to assign some sort of time and attendance for this department. Judge is refusing to use all forms available or fingerprint any of his employees. The policy book states, and we just did this new amendment. Now, the problem that's getting me in trouble is because I'm the one that's supposed to be approving some of this stuff. And I'm only going with what the policy book says to cover myself.
You can't approve it unless the supervisor signs it and says it's...
Well, and it says in my paperwork, because I asked about the application, and she says on there that as we all claims on accounts, hopefully there is some reports generated by the system that will show the employee departments they work in, the funds and accounts or payrolls being paid from, similar to a payroll claim, that you would certify and the council or commissioners would approve. And what that is would there would have to be some new wording on the payroll that says I'm certifying they're correct. And those three departments I refuse to certify because I don't know if they're correct.
Right, you cannot certify correct.
We pay them, and the commissioners approve it. But to be able to prove if they did or not, no, we can't.
So the supervisor is not approving their sheet? Is that what you're saying? He's not, he or she aren't taking responsibility for the time of their...
Believe it or not, the supervisors will approve them.
Okay.
But they are not making their employees clock in and clock out.
Okay. They are approving because it's not coming back to you. For
correct. If it didn't come to me, I wouldn't pay it. The one department...
If it's not approved by your supervisor, you can't
correct.
You can't pay them like that.
We've got some issues. I mean,
yeah.
Well, how can you refuse to do the fingerprints?
If you think I'm going to be argue with one of them, you got to be kidding me.
Well, the bottom line is, we could refuse them, correct?
You could. But thank goodness you don't.
Because they're claiming that we look. There's a court.
There's a separation of power.
Drawn out process.
The bottom line though is, some can, some can't.
You have employees that may not have a recordable fingerprint, and we use the FOB for that. Okay.
What was it, three? You said there were three employees you couldn't get fingerprints from?
This is what we've got. I've been given my instructions that the FOBs are not allowed to be given out unless the employee can't do a fingerprint. We do have some employees we've tried every finger. I'm surprised they haven't tried their toes because they've been very willing. We've never had any issues with the employee. They try, but they have to be given the FOB, and that's the only way that we'll give the FOB out is if the fingerprint. The telephone has been totally denied. I don't have the number anymore. There's only one number, and it's not, we don't have it. The exception to the computer input has been the sheriff's department on the deputies because they go, as soon as they hit the county line, when they work, they're on duty. And so in order for them to be paid, have you guys started using that? Is it working okay so far?
The issue we're having is that 7-minute rounding.
Okay. That was discussed today. That was another thing that needs to be brought up. What the issue is there is if you are unrestricted, you are being paid however you're clocked in. So if you clock in 7 minutes till and you clock out 3 minutes after, it's going to give you a quarter of an hour. I am fighting it, but they're doing what they've been told by the county attorney, so I don't know what else to do about that part. The advice that we were given today was to put them restricted, where you get paid for what you're scheduled to work. Then if you, let's say you're scheduled to work 8 to 4, but let's say you come in at 6 and you work till 6.
We switched back.
We talked to them too today, and they explained that the problems we were having in the beginning, that would have corrected it, but they've since made tweaks that would be better to be back to restricted. So.
Good. Okay. Well, anyway, if they do work outside their box, outside your normal working hours, you would just have to go in and make the change. So that's what they told me today.
We spoke with them for quite a while. They said it would fix a lot of the issues we're dealing with today.
But see, there was no way for me to go in and do anything. I can't. And so today when he was on the phone, I had Larry was in my office at that time. We were able to talk to Derek. That's what he said. The only way that could be fixed was to be put it back on restricted. And if you're not working those hours, your supervisor can go in and make that adjustment so that you get paid for what you worked.
I think we're pretty squared away with most stuff. They had to tweak the canine thing. They have to put code in for that. They're still wanting to give people holiday time, whether they worked or not, even though we don't get holiday time. So they're supposed to be correcting that and still figuring out, I guess, that they're working with you on what exactly we're going to do with our holidays.
The one thing I can say about this company, I can't say enough good things about them. because they have tried to accommodate anything and everything that we've asked. And sometimes it hasn't worked, so you try something else. And they've been more than willing to do that. And there ain't a lot of companies that will do that.
Well, which way are we looking at going with the holiday time?
The way that the policy book says is that you get, the Sheriff's Department gets one day a month. If you don't take it in that month, then it needs to be paid out. Okay, you and Carrie was in my office, and my personal opinion, this isn't in the policy book, but I think it needs to be considered. Example, Woody's wife has a baby, and she's going to have it in May. Okay? He knows that in January. If he goes to the sheriff and says to the sheriff, "Sheriff, I would like to use my holidays as taking time off when my wife has her baby, or a parent is going to have surgery." I mean, this is just an example. I think there should be a provision that with a special exception that it could be done that way without it being paid out. But that would have to be something that would have to be planned in advance.
They're also through PTO, right?
Yes.
What I see is going to happen with the holiday stuff, Doug, is it's going to wreck my budget to have to pay, you know, a 12-hour overtime for, you know, up to several employees every month if they decide not to take their holiday. And to me, I guess I would add one more thing to what Sheila's saying. I think if we made them pay, or if we could say, all right, you can carry it for a quarter, because what will happen is I'll get jammed up at the end of the year. I'll have, and there'll be people coming saying, "Hey, I got 12 holidays. I got to get them in." And we've had people lose it, but it's a sad thing. I mean, you know, they should get that time off, and it's a benefit for them to be off, and it makes them a better employee. But I would make it a quarter. Say you can carry it a quarter, and then we're only three holidays, and you got to use them, or they're going to be done. You know, so
something just similar happened with Mary just last month. I think she had a
scheduled
day off and got called, and I mean, she has to go.
Yes.
Well, if you run
something needs done there.
Budget wise, that I think what he's saying that our concern is when we get it, that since we've been losing people, so we can't really with road coverage give people the day off, so they can't use it. So then we're having to pay them with money that we didn't plan on having to pay those hours. Because it's coming out of overtime or where, I don't know what you guys know where that stuff comes from.
You got it, because that's where it would come if they work their regular schedule.
But that's not planned for. That's something extra that is just going to have to happen when maybe if that was put into place, you could say, well, can I use it next month? Maybe the situation's different. I don't know. There's a billion what ifs, but it just seems like being forced to pay that extra money might take its toll and add up.
And about the only department that really faces that is the Sheriff's Department. Because the EMS, they take care of whatever.
But it is an issue because, I mean, clearly people are not able to take their holiday.
And we don't want to get to where, like the Sheriff said, that you have 12 days in December. I mean, that's not the goal of what we want to happen.
The other thing that's going to be available to you is, and hopefully it's going to be within the next month or so, you're going to be able to sign on the computer and know exactly how many days you have, whether it's holiday, PTO, comp time. You're going to know exactly how much time you got. So there's no excuse from any employee to say, "Oh, I didn't realize I had that many."
I totally agree with that. However, I'm sure you've had employees.
You need any motions on this stuff here, Sheila?
I just need to know where we need to go from it. I think this needs to be talked about a little bit more in depth.
So we'll table it, but be brought up to our attention.
But it needs to be brought up, yes.
Any other business?
Any news on the county home? Any bidders or interested parties?
I talked to Dwayne Davis right before Christmas Day, and he said there should be an auction coming shortly, first part of January.
The auction,
so there we are. So, okay. Well, it looks like he tried to call me the other day, but missed me, so maybe we have some news there. So.
Thank you.
I move that we adjourn.
I got a motion to adjourn. I'll second. Aye.
Aye.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Say.
I'll be say aye.
Thank you, guys. You can.
Who did the motion? You were
just I moved to adjourn. Secretary seconded it.
Okay. I believe there are ways to save that Madera in the library, or to at least.
Oh, Terry, are you
going to go downstairs? For that library.
I can't. I need to get home to my wife.